And he came on and he says, casting all your care upon the Lord. And he said some things that had kind of got my attention. You know, you can hear some things and it'll say something to you, but then again, it'll say even more. Because sometimes you don't always grasp everything. That's why you teach a series, so that people can grasp and spend much time on a certain subject and just really milk it down. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care. How many care? All your care. Upon who? Upon Him. For or because He cares for you. The Amplified Bible says He cares about you affectionately and cares for you watchfully. He cares about what you care about. If you have a care in your heart, the Lord cares about that. I quote the scripture many times, Psalm 138, verse 8. It talks about in there that the Lord will take care of everything that concerns me. Everything that concerns you, God will take care of it if we look to Him. And he said something that jogged my mind about some things. He said, What are cares? You know, the Amplified Bible says cares are anxieties, worries, burdens. And last night a scripture came to me, Psalm 155, verse 22, I believe it is there. Cast your burdens upon the Lord, and so on. And cares, he went on to say, cares are troublesome thoughts that the devil brings to you. The Bible says that the devil can give you in a moment of time a picture of a disastrous situation coming your way, or that will happen. And so many times people just meditate on those and they don't cast those down right away, because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians that we take captive every thought. In 2 Corinthians, we take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. And then it talks about in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, I believe it is. Think on these things. Think on these things. And so the Bible tells us what to think in those times when we're having difficulty with our own minds. So, troublesome thoughts come to people's mind. Troublesome thoughts. And troublesome thoughts come to put fear in you. To put fear in your mind. To steal the Word of God that's been planted in your heart. Jesus said in Philippians 4:19, that the cares of this world will choke out the word that's in your heart. Even though you've sowed the word in your heart, the devil will come by. And if you let your mind dominate, that is your soul. So many people, Brother Hagin used to talk about, that the people are Christian, spirit-filled Christians, many of them, are dominated by their soul. They're dominated by what they think about it. You know, I don't know about you, but everything you have, any kind of problem you have, and you've exhausted yourself about solving a problem. You went to the doctor. You went to the banker. You went to your dentist. You went to your lawyer. You went to your counselor. You went to all your best friends. You went to your pastor. You went to your church, you went to whoever you went. You exhausted everything you can. You looked everywhere in the world to find an answer. But God knows, like the song says, you know, He'll do it again. God will do it again. He's seen God do it over and over and over and over again. I seem to get this in my heart that I was looking at a scripture. Let's go to Psalm 55 here for a second. I'm just following my spirit here. Psalm 55. I do have something I wanted to share. Turn to Psalm 55. And we'll read verse 1. I'm going to read the New Living, or let's see here. Okay, let's go read Psalm 55, verse 1. Psalm 55, verse 1. Everybody say troubles. So people sometimes will be enveloped with troubles. The devil, he comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's why he's there, to destroy your peace of mind. If he can come to destroy your peace of mind, he'll try to steal whatever you have coming. And fear will nullify every promise that comes to you if you begin to stay in fear. Fear will paralyze your faith if you stay in fear. Hallelujah. You know, we're redeemed. I don't care how you feel this morning. You are redeemed. You are blessed. You're loved. You're protected. God will protect you from everything that the devil will try to destroy you. And he's interested in your life. He knows the beginning from the end of your life. And he has great plans. Like some people said, you know, I was watching something there that, lately I was seeing over the months, you know, there's this group of Christians. Can you imagine that group of Christian churches? They said, we're going to encourage every church not to sing any hill songs, not to sing any elevation music. What else is other music that, Bethel. Any Bethel, don't sing any Bethel songs. Because they're brainwashing people. Well, it's good to be brainwashed, praise God, and God's thoughts. He says, because it's too positive. Life can't be that good, and you got to have some trouble. Well, of course, we know that. We don't have to emphasize that. Right? We want to emphasize the good. I mean, if you read Philippians 4:6, he didn't say, think on all the troubles. No, we have to think on the things that are good. The good report. Speak about the good. And so, and you have to understand, these people are against this kind. You know, they said this is of the devil. So all the songs we're singing is of the devil. And it's crazy. It's an attack. I mean, we need to believe and sing. That's why I like singing scriptures. You know, some places you go to, they just sing about emotional things. But we need to sing scripture. That's why the old hymns are pretty good, right? They sing on the scriptures, eh? It's not strong. Did you find Psalm 55? Well, Psalm 55, verse 1. Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my cry for help. Please listen and answer me, for I'm overwhelmed by my troubles. This sounds pretty exhaustive or exhausting. The Passion Translation says, God, listen to my prayer. Don't hide your heart from me when I cry out to you. That's a little bit of, you know, it's too watered down. And the King James, talks about here, New King James says, give ear to my prayer, O God. Do not hide yourself from my supplication. Well, the Living says, don't hide from my troubles. If you go down and you see, my enemies shout at me, making loud and wicked threats. They bring trouble on me and angrily hunt me down. My heart pounds in my chest. The terror of death assaults me. Fear and trembling overwhelm me. I can't stop shaking. I mean, that's you know, when fear strikes a person's heart, there's something called, I don't know if you ever heard this, they say, scared me right out of my wits. The devil tries to put thoughts in you that will shake you so much that you lose your ability to think. You know, I think science just proves the fact that when you begin to have these kinds of attacks, your brain stops. when you're fearful. Whether something is real or imagined, it still affects your body, still affects how you feel or your soul, your feelings. And it's how you look at something. Affects you. Science tells us how you look at something really affects what you're going to do next or your condition in your body, how you feel. And so the devil wants to do is he wants to load you up with troubles so that you can be so full in your mind with troubles that you forget about God's word. You forget about going to God. Now I want to read the last part here, the last verse of scripture. Verse 22, give your burdens to the Lord. The New Living says, give your burdens to the Lord. He will take care of you. Everybody say, God will take care of me. So God wants to take care of you, whatever situation you're in right now. As I mentioned earlier, you know, I know Brother Hagin always prepared us because Jesus said this. You know, the storms of life come to all of us. And what you do in those storms really says about how you prepared yourself for that day. You don't prepare for a storm the day it happens. You prepare for a storm back there somewhere. Every day you discipline yourself to read the Bible in the morning or today, or quote a scripture or at night or both or all of it. And you pray, stay close to God. You know, you don't, a fighter, UFC fighters, they don't prepare, you know, the day they're going to go to fight that night. Unless some people do, like Pastor Kent. No. You prepare a long time, like weeks and months, mentally, physically, spiritually. You prepare yourself for the battle. Amen. Are you here? Yes. Are you still here? You have to prepare yourself. Like, cause I'm telling you right now, some of you think, you know, hey, I'm okay. Hey, just give me something else. Wait a minute. Everybody's going to have some kind of situation they're going to face somewhere along the line. I was reading last night, a brother, a Raymond brother of ours, passed away yesterday, a pastor, and was on the Raymond Singers and Band and passed away. And, you know, he was in a battle. You know, we have to prepare ourselves every single day. You don't know what it's in people's hearts. So you prepare yourself a long way before any trial happens. You take your time and you look at the verses of Scripture and you read them over to yourself. Brother Hagin used to tell us this all the time. You know, even though I could quote the scriptures, I know where the scriptures are. And before I pray about anything, sometimes I'll wait for a day before I pray about something. And even though I can quote them to myself, I know the verse, I know the chapter, the very verse of scripture, I go back to the very same chapter and I read in that chapter, in that verse where I found that scripture, and I read it to myself. And I quote it to myself, and I read it, and I chew on it. I let my mind absorb it. I let it go right down to my spirit. The more you meditate on the word, the more it gets branded on the inside of you. You know, the devil, that's how the devil gets a hold of people. He brings thoughts to them over and over and over. And you begin to meditate on those thoughts. Think on them. They come inside your spirit and gets branded inside you. No, you have to rise up immediately and say, no, I don't think that. I don't receive that thought. Here's what I think. I think what this scripture says. That's what 2 Corinthians 10 says, that we take captive every thought. God doesn't do that for us. You do it. You say, I take that thought down. I dismantle that thought in the name of Jesus. I don't think that thought. That's not of the of God. That doesn't bring me any peace. That doesn't bring me any kind of warmth. In fact, that disturbs me. So I refuse that thought. See, this is what you got to do with troubled thoughts, and you got to think on what the Lord says so that you have the victory. And if you do this regularly, if you do this habitually, if it's part of your lifestyle, nobody has to tell you, go read your Bible. If I have to tell you, go read your Bible, you're sick. Spiritually, the Bible says people who reject food are sick people. They don't want to eat. When you're sick, if you got the flu, you don't want to eat. You have no appetite. Spiritually speaking, people who don't read the Word, they're sick. But they don't want to admit it. They don't read the Bible habitually. They read it sporadically. You know, maybe if you're... I don't want to be mean. If you were sporadically about eating, what would happen? You forget to eat for a week or two. Or for a whole day. No. We look in that fridge 25 times a day. If you see your feet and hand marks in there, you just see all your hand marks. Back to that fridge, back to that fridge. Back and forth. If we habitually do that with our Bible, we'll be strong. Casting down imagination. Give your burdens to the Lord. Whatever you have, that's a burden. I remember, you know, when I first, I had all kinds of fears when I came out of addictions. I'd be in detox, and if I'm in detox, and I go to a treatment center. It's funny, I came out of a Smith Clinic one weekend. They let you out after 2 weeks, you can go out. So for the night, I was let out. You know where I went to? The Horseshoe Tavern. Everybody say, no business. Come on, say, no business. So I had no business there. I'm drinking that Coke with my friends. You know? Just like some of you, if you want to stay away, some friends maybe you shouldn't hang around with because they, you know, they do the wrong things that maybe help you do things that you don't want to do. So, cast your burdens on the Lord, not upon your wife. You know? Honey, here's my burdens. No, that's not where you put them. You say, you need to be doing this, honey. You should be doing this. If you didn't do this, you know, no, wait a minute, let's go back. See, that's exactly what the devil wants you to fight each other so that you don't have any agreement. Whatever it is that's a burden in your house. Are you guys okay? Praise God. Are you guys back there? Anybody? Yeah, okay. I see ya. Cast your burdens on the Lord, and He'll do what? He'll desert you. He will take care of you. Me and Pastor Ken, you know, we were trying to hang up pictures and stuff. We had, you know, all these old frames, and we were getting all frustrated, and we decided, let's go to the picture store. Find some frames. So we went to the frame, and this guy came up to us, act like he's like a gangster. He said, give me those things, I'll take care of you. I said, okay. He took care of us, all right? We looked at the bill. I thought he was going to take care of us. The Lord will take care of you. Go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. So what are cares? Cares are troubles, worrisome thoughts. Troubles are worrisome thoughts that bring fear. And fear will paralyze you. You know, it'll make you stop. Did you find 2 Corinthians? Let's go to 10. I believe it's verse, let's see here. Oh, no. This is, I'm reading the, let's go to the King James Version. I like the King James. Okay. Let's look at this. This verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Everybody say strongholds. Okay, so there's strongholds are thought patterns that have been embedded in your brain that's been there for a long, long time. It's hard if you want to make that switch over to, like, you know, because sometimes you say, oh, I'll take care of it. God's too busy. You know, he doesn't care about everything. I mean, he's too busy. The devil will even tell you that. So strongholds, what it is, strongholds is thinking patterns, thoughts of human reasoning that have been there, that are not, they're not God's thoughts. They're thoughts that are not of the Lord. It says in there, verse 5 says, casting down imaginations. So he uses that term, imaginations, which are, you know, strongholds. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity. You are is the understood subject to the, you bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You have to tell yourself this. No, I'm not going to think this thought. I'm not going to meditate on this thought. I'm going to think what God says. Here's what God says. And then, so we turn to this scripture. Let's go to Philippians 4:6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Notice this. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God. Everybody say peace of God. And the peace of God. That's what we want, is the peace of God, which passes all understanding. In other words, your mind cannot fathom the fact that how come you're in peace when you actually should be worried. And the devil says, you know, you ought to be worried about this situation, because this is a very dangerous situation. You're in very dire need. If I were you, I would take a good worry right now. And that's what he does. And he's been successful over and over and over again with so many people, and they begin to take back the worry, and all of a sudden, because it's been a stronghold all those years, they begin to take it back again, and you have to catch yourself. You have to catch yourself and stop yourself from thinking this way. And here's what the Lord said last week. This is why people's prayers are not working, because they keep taking it back without even realizing that they've taken it back. They go to their prayer room and they pray and exercise religious practices and practice throwing it up to the Lord. I'm going to throw my cares to the Lord and catch it back up again. I'm going to throw it back up and catch it again. And so they do this, and they cast all the cares on the Lord. They feel good. Oh man, they feel good. And they go back and they find a friend, and they start talking about something. And so they start talking about how the problem was. As soon as they start talking about the problem, they just cast to the Lord in their prayer time. They have taken it back without really realizing, through their own mouth, because they start talking about it like they still have it. Are you here? They start talking like, you know, they talk like they still have it. They say, you know, I tell you, oh man, I had this, you know, and let me tell you about my, this symptom I've had. my heart's been racing, I've been taking these pills, and you know, whatever. So you start talking like that, then all of a sudden the stronghold is coming back again, because it takes a while to do this, so you have to be practicing this. Brother Hagin said this, this is the worst sin I had to overcome in my Christian life. Some people talk about, I had to learn how to quit using drugs or alcohol, or I had to stop living in debauchery, whatever it is they were living. He said, it took me a long time to get out of that lifestyle. But because he was raised a certain way, he said, my parents, my grandmother, my mother was world champion warrior. In fact, his mother was so worried, she actually took herself into a psychotic state, because she worried so much. Brother Aiken said there's many people like that over the years that worried themselves to the point they've had really hard problems with dealing with their mind. And so they was able to, like for him, he said, that was the hardest problem for me, was to overcome in my life, was the sin of worry. And he called it a sin of worry. I believe in the last chapter of Romans, chapter 15, I believe, or 14, talks about there, whatever is not of faith is sin. James chapter 4, the latter part of that verse says, says the same thing. You can't worry in faith. It's impossible to pray the prayer of faith and to stay in faith and to just carry on with worrying. To continue to be worried day in, day out. Now, I'll grant you this, because sometimes, here's the fight of faith. The fight of faith is for you to stay in the Spirit. The hardest job that you'll have to do is learn to stay in the Spirit. That means you don't live by how you feel. You don't live by what you see. And what you see sometimes, it is pretty scary. Some things you look at sometimes in normal, natural life, it's very scary to see certain things. I don't know about you, but there are symptoms, things that I saw in my life that I had to, I refused to look at. You got to refuse to look at things that scare you out of your wits. You got to refuse to talk the problem when there actually is a problem, when you're actually having the pain, when you have the symptoms, when the problem is staring right at you. It's the fight of faith that causes you to rise up to say, I know that problem is there. I can see it. I can feel it. I can see what all the experts are saying. Can you turn away from all the experts, all what the doctor has said, and what everybody else said, and everybody said it can't be done. Can you turn away from that and turn to God's Word and say, this is what God's Word says about my situation. Yes, I'm taking the medication. I will take the medication, but I'm looking to God. Now, we don't tell anybody not to take medications in this church. I've never done that, ever. When I was at Rhema, the very first week we came to Rhema, they taught us faith, prayer, and medicine. Faith, prayer, and medicine. You take the medicines until the doctor tells you not to take them anymore. And you'll know, and the doctor will know, and everybody else will know, when you can throw your crutch away. And, I'm glad, we don't, as far as, I'm going to step into another area here, which maybe there's been lots of fighting. It's about the needle and getting the vaccine. Use your head. And start living by faith. It doesn't say you have faith just because you don't take the vaccine. It doesn't. It doesn't say you have faith if you take the vaccine. You determine what faith is in your life.
Amen.
And don't go around fighting people because they believe different than you, because your faith is a whole lot different than somebody else. I've been doing this for a long time. I didn't go consult doctors. I didn't go to the scientists. When I made my decision, I went right to Jesus. And I made my decision based on me and God.
Amen.
And I made my decision based on who I am to you and what I represent in this city. My position is different from yours. And I don't go around flexing my spiritual muscles and tell people what I'm doing. I keep that to myself. If you want to know my position, I'll tell you what it is, but I won't tell you just because for you just to go and blab out what I believe. Faith? People, a lot of people talk about faith, you know, they don't understand. Well, I've been taught by the best faith preachers in the world about what faith is and what it's not. I learned that taking medication doesn't indicate that you have faith or no faith. Brother Higgins says, go ahead, dummy. If you're going to live by faith, don't use any deodorant. And see how long that takes you, where it takes you. Some of you need lots of faith and lots of deodorant and mouthwash too. Okay, we've been all guilty. Let's get out of that thing. Now watch this. You will struggle with thoughts after you cast your care on the Lord. You come out of your prayer closet and you left it with God. Oh, you feel so refreshed. It's like having an Irish spring bath. Right? You come out all just fresh. And as soon as you go for your friends and they're talking about something, and you kick back into the natural, and then you start talking about, you kick back into the natural, and so we live in two worlds. We live in the spiritual world, and we live in the natural world. And you have to navigate how to do that in situations. Now, there's a time that you have to talk about a problem with people in context, but not just fellowshipping around problems. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so I don't look for opportunity to share my problems with people. I look for an opportunity to share the word with someone and talk to them about the word of God. Even with my wife and we don't talk, problems. If we talk problems, we get on each other. Right, honey? She's laughing. Because, we had to stand our ground with different things, and we have to tell each other about different things. So we take our cares to God, and watch this. I haven't finished the thought. Thanksgiving, let your request be known to God, and the peace of God, that's what we want, which passes all understanding. Jesus said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give it to you, not as the world giveth, give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled. But I'm full of trouble. Let not your heart be troubled. You see, sometimes the word heart is translated spirit, sometimes it's translated soul. Like, the heart sometimes translated as, interchangeably, but you have to see the context. Your heart, when the Bible sometimes talks about heart, it talks about your soul. It means your soul. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your mind be troubled. So it's you that has something to do with your mind. God's not going to come and just grab your mind. That's why we learn, when we're in school, Keith Moore used to tell us, everybody say this. So let's all say it together. Say, my mind.
My mind.
Say, my mind,
my mind
is my mind.
My mind.
So here's what Wigglesworth used to say. I can feel any way I want to feel. That's what Smith Wigglesworth used to say. I can feel any way, because somebody asked him, how do you feel, Smith? He said, I can feel any way I want to feel. Here's Philippians 4:4. He said, rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Rejoice in the Lord if you feel like it. No, rejoice in the Lord if things is going right. Yeah? Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord. When is always? Is it when you're having a really hard time and your mind's filled with cares? Rejoice in the Lord. Go over the Psalm, in your mind. Psalm 34, verse 1, and David was having a hard time. Yeah. If you look at the context and the history of what was happening during the time David wrote that scripture and the time that Paul wrote the scripture in Philippians 4, Psalm 34 says, you know, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise, the word praise is to boast about, to make big about. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will praise God. I'll praise God at all times. I'll make God bigger than my problem. Everybody is, we need some warmth in here. It's like North Pole in here. We need mitts. I see people's eyes are getting white from their eyebrow, you know, they're from all the frost. They're starting to look white and pale, and they're, when is the service over? You know, it's like you're dead. Check your neighbor. I'll check his pulse. It's gone really low. Well, okay, watch this. Is this okay?
Yes.
This is okay? Because we have to learn, the Lord said to me, we have to learn the practicality of how to put this into operation. I sent the notes to these ladies this morning. Sorry about that, guys. But listen, we'll get back there. The Lord said, go back to it. You see, I'm trying to get away from this thing. I even put two people preach for me last couple of days. Then you started preaching. I actually asked Pastor Dave. I know he wasn't here. I said, Pastor Dave, you preach for me. He wasn't here today. I was asking to preach. But I said, we're tired of hearing from Pastor Ken. Now, that was a good message Pastor Ken preached last week, man. I was just, thank you for using my notes. I'm just kidding. No, Pastor Steve did a great job on Wednesday, right? That's absolutely wonderful. I was rejoicing in that, man. You didn't do your move, though. Yeah? Stretchy cheese. Okay, that's it. The peace of God which passes all understanding. That's in the problem that you're having, it's going to go past that. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brother, whatever is true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's what the Bible says. This is how you should think. And they're telling us, don't sing any hell song. I mean, this is Christians on television. It's telling us, don't sing any elevation music, anything to do with those kind of music. We were afraid that we had to cancel all our music and go back to Hosanna Praise, which is pretty good too. Go back first. Arise, shine. Go back again. Okay. I would be the leader of the praise if that happens. You only need three keys. None of these fancy, keys. Think on those things. Now let's go to, because we want peace. If you can stay in peace, Brother Higgin used to always tell us, if you can keep the devil in the arena of the spirit, you'll win the victory every time. But if he gets you into the realm of the soul, if he gets you into the soulless level, he'll defeat you always. Before we go to Isaiah, let's go to over here to the fourth chapter in the 19th verse of Mark. He knew it was going to Mark. Mark 19. Let's read the Amplified Version. The Amplified Version. Everybody say worries. Cares. Burdens. Okay, so you might not have a worry or a burden right now, but one day the devil will try to come there. He's working on them for you. He said, I know the right one to get Maxine. Tailor-made. He come at you, and he'll strike in the area that you're mostly concerned about in your life. And he'll tell you about everything, how you know there's no solution for this area. But you need to say this to yourself. Say, the devil is a liar. Come on, say, the devil is a liar. See, Jesus said he's a deceiver. And he'll convince you in fine fashion, in color form, in your thoughts, how something is not going to happen. There's something that you're experiencing. This is it for you. There's no more remedy for you. Okay, watch this. But the worries and the cares of the world, distractions of this age and worldly pleasures, and deceitfulness and false security of glamour, or glamour of wealth or fame, and passionate desires of other things creep in, that is, into your mind and into your heart eventually, and choke the word and becomes unfruitful. So the worries come to destroy the word that's been implanted in your heart. He'll try to get you to start to meditate on that broken record over and over that you've been experiencing for many, many years. Rehearsing it over. So this thing has to stop. This has to stop right now. No matter how bad it seems, because you know he'll tell you, you need to worry about that. I know about prayer. Yeah, I pray about it, but you still need to be concerned about it. And you take it back again. Let's go to Isaiah 26. Isaiah chapter 26. And let's read verse 3. Thank you, Lord. The King James says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusted in you. Trusting means you have faith in God and that you believe his promises. And you put that in your mind instead of putting the care in the forefront. Yes, the symptoms are there. Yes, the situation looks very dire. You could feel overwhelmed, like the man of God says, I'm so overwhelmed, my body is just shaking, I'm full of anxiety, my heart's pounding, I can't sleep, I'm tossing and turning, and I'm getting sick, I can't eat. It gets you to the place. The devil will keep coming back. Over and over. You know, I was reading Triumphant Church. I don't know, has anybody read the book Triumphant Church? One person. This is an adult book. I can see why. I remember reading that in the 90s, I believe it was. I read that book. I put it down as fast as I could. I didn't want to deal with it. How about demons and devils and how to get a hold of people. I didn't want to know how he got a hold of me. I didn't want to think about it. And I realized, no matter how you feel, no matter how the situation is, that you can overcome every devil. You can deliver yourself. You don't have to have someone lay hands on you if you're a believer. You don't have to come to a pastor, wait for a special anointed meeting. No. You can deliver yourself. You can say no to the devil right now about anything that he's put on your life against you and just say, nope, I will not have it. I'm resisting this. And he'll come back to you. He said, nope, I will not take care. I will not take that burden. And he'll put it back on you. You just said, nope, I don't have that burden. I gave it to God. Jesus has it. And he's working on it right now. You will keep him in perfect peace. Perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee. So it's up to us to keep our mind on the promises of God. Because God is faithful. He will not let you down. Amen. It's 12:01. I can see the clock. Dinner's on the table. I'm missing Ernie. You know, we need to put a petition that Ernie has to come back to church. We'll offer him a bucket of chicken every time he comes back in the service. We need the singers to come up. The musicians. Anybody that prophesies. I need an exhorter. We're going to take the communion together. Thank you, Lord God. Everybody say, thank God.
Thank God.
He has all my cares. Say, I don't have a care in the world. I don't carry any burdens. I don't worry about stuff. Say, I have no anxieties. Say, I quit having panic attacks. I used to have them. That's why I used to say that. I used to have lots of panic attacks. And I was proud of them. Here's what I used to say. I used to go to AA meetings. And I learned a lot of good things there. And I learned this. One guy, I heard a speaker say one time, he says, one day, he was learning how to cast his burdens on God. He said, one day I was sitting there, I was in peace, I was in total peace. Then I thought to myself, I'm afraid that I might get worried today. He said, what if I start getting worried today? No, we won't worry a thing. God is the one who's going to help us. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says on the night he was betrayed, 1 Corinthians 11, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread and he gave thanks. He broke the bread. He said, this is my body which was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he did the same thing with the cup. He took the cup. He said, this is the New Testament in my blood. Sealed in the blood. You know, blood is a covenant. And whatever comes against you, God says, I'll come against it. Amen. That's the blood covenant. He said, your enemies are my enemies. Whatever attacks you, it'll have to attack me first, because I'm for you.
Amen.
And we love God. Are you ready to stand? So let us remember the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ and begin to say, Lord, whatever you have between him and you, if there's something you need to rectify between you and God, if there's an area that you have to ask God's forgiveness, maybe you've been unbelief. Maybe you're doing something you shouldn't. Maybe you should be doing something that you've left out, that you should be doing, that God said to do. You need to get back to it. Maybe there's other, just spiritual sins, you know, like worry, like holding resentments, like feeling sorry for yourself is a sin. You can't feel sorry for yourself. Poor old me. Look what I have to put up with. Give it to God. Say, Lord, forgive me for feeling sorry for myself. Thank you, Lord. I know you forgive me. I'm moving ahead with you today. Everybody say,
Dear Lord Jesus,
thank you for dying for me. Thank you for suffering for me.
Thank you for
going down 3 days for me. And being raised on the third day. I know you're sitting at the right hand of the Father. Spiritually, positionally, I'm sitting there with you. Thank you for that. And thank you for giving me the Holy Spirit as a down payment of all that's coming to me. I thank Him in the name of Jesus. He's my helper, my personal helper, my counselor. He's my defense. He's the ever-present God in the time of trouble. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you for helping my family. I bless my family. All my descendants are blessed because of me. You said, if one man prays that's righteous, you'll even save a sinner. Thank you, Lord, that I intercede for my neighbors and all my friends that need Jesus today. I pray for them. I ask you to send a laborer that they will understand and listen to. Angels go forth and cause this to happen. Make room and make it ready. Thank you, Lord, for my family church, for fellowship, a fellowship of believers that have strong faith, that believe on the Word of God, that have the same Holy Spirit I have, that can praise, that can pray for the things on earth to change. Nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. I will not be denied. The promises of God are real, and they're coming upon me. Mercy and goodness are following me right now, and the devil is far from me. I thank you now for the body that was broken for me.